You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, Andy Holding and Sam Turner in the studio. It's National Hunt Racing from Exeter and Newcastle, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. So three meetings to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
I'm okay, Mr. Mark Walton. Thank you for having me.
Good.
This is your own personal radio show, and I've been invited on as a guest to talk about my experiences in something. It's the Mark Walton Show. Well, coming up, do dogs taste? We'll find out a little bit later on. Which one of the Chuckle Brothers is the oldest? We'll find out a little bit later on.
No, of course we're not going to talk about things like that. We're going to talk about serious business of horse racing. And we're going to look at the Monday jury in the Racing Post before we get stuck into Tuesday's action. First question, give us a strong fancy and an outsider for the National in the wake of this key weekend. I'll just talk you through the betting as it stands at the moment. We now have co-favourites of three. Many Clouds and Silviniaco Conti were the joint favourites. They've been joined by The Last Samurai on the back of this weekend. Those three all 12-1. It's 16-1 for Gooniella. The Druid's Nephew 16s as well. Holywell 20s. Bishop's Road 25s with a whole host of others. Carlingford Lock, Don Polly, Cruise Linen, Saint R and Shut the Front Door. And 33-1 or bigger prices for the others.
It's rather a vague Monday jury this week, isn't it?
It's the week before Cheltenham Monday jury, isn't it? Where they give some selections.
Do you like horse racing? What's your favourite horse? That kind of thing. It is pretty vague. I can't help feel the researchers could have been a little stricter. give us a strong fancy in and outside for National in the wake of this key weekend. Almost implying that what happened at the weekend is going to influence your selection here in this question. Obviously, with the likes of The Last Samurai and whatnot. I can perfectly understand how he's been very popular, although admittedly, given his experience in the race, I would probably prefer the Druid's Nephew, who finished second in that contest, and thought that was a perfect prep for the race. So the Druid's Nephew, I actually think, will have a major chance at the top of the market. But I keep getting tempted by Wise in particular. He has got Evan Williams running on late into a place written all over him.
He's a big price as well, isn't he?
He's 50-1. I mean, he does it regularly by Wise. In that he gets going a little bit too late and frustrates people for many years now. But, you know, it might well be that this is the bizarre test that he needs to keep him interested. He finished third behind Zigger Boy last time out over at Doncaster in the Skybet Chase. And he's run round Intro a couple of times as well over the normal fences. So, buy-wise, keeps tempting me. I don't think he'll win, but
yeah.
Out of the clouds comes buy-wise to grab fourth on the running.
Do you think Paul Maloney will ride him? Is he
still injured? He's not still injured.
No, he's back. He came back last week. Yeah.
Yeah, he's back.
Because
he's perfect. He's been perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
He?
Yeah. I think I heard a quote from the owner the other week saying, "With buy-wise, we're just gonna hunt around the back and try and find the holes in the fences after all the other horses have taken them apart." It's a perfect buy-wise plan.
It's a great plan. It's an absolutely great plan. How can it not fail? How can it fail?
How can it not fail? Which suggests you're less than confident.
No, that's true, yeah. It could fail.
He does have the tendency to belt the fence or two, doesn't he? That's the risk with him, I suppose.
He does, but then these ones might scare the bejesus out of him and he might think, "Oh, I'm not belting these. I'm actually going to jump these. Yeah, it's fine.
Better concentrate." So we'll
call. We would say he's not a particularly good jumper. He fell on his Hunter Chase debut for previous connections. And since then, he's completed every time. And he's never finished he's never been over his fences. He's never finished further back than fifth, and they were both in very strong handicaps. So even though people get frustrated with him, he's actually an incredibly consistent horse.
Yeah. So we'll call that one your outsider, and would the Drew's nephew be your stronger fancy?
Yes, although, well, no, at the prices, I still think buy-wise would classifies both, I think.
Right.
So he goes in, yeah, he's a strong fancy and an outsider. But he said give us a strong fancy and an outsider.
Yeah, you've merged them together.
I have, if I take the grammar very literally.
Yeah, fair enough. If many clubs were yours, Ross, would you run in the Gold Cup now, or would you save him for entry?
I mean, the frustrating thing is they'd obviously left a certain amount to work with based on him going to Kelso. The frustrating thing now is that plan has had to be changed. So are they just going to keep him ticking over for a couple of weeks till the Gold Cup? It's rather a frustrating set of circumstances for them. As I said, given the of what happened last year, I would probably run him in the Gold Cup.
The key difference this year is there's only 3 weeks between the two races, though, isn't it?
That is true. We cannot dispute that fact. But, yeah, you're right. That would be a slight worry. But if he's a horse that needs the prep, then he's going to need the prep.
Yeah.
So you can't really... You're going to have to. It's just the Kelso thing has thrown everything up in the air, so it's not ideal either way.
No. Best laid plans of Mice and Men and all that.
Of Oliver Sherwood, yeah.
Yes. It's decision day with Victoria Pendleton. We now know that the decision has been made and she will ride in the Fox Hunters Ross.
Okay.
How do you think she'll get on? Pasha de Polder a 16-1 shot for the Fox Hunters, by the way, which will be the horse she's partnering.
How do you think she'll get on? Do I think she'll win the race? Is that what you're asking me? Or can she win the race?
Can she win the race? Do you think she'll get round?
I think she can win the race. She's got the right horse. And she's obviously, you know, she's come on leaps and bounds. I mean, regardless of your opinion of it, the achievement level to go from...
Never sitting on a horse.
It's just insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
I realise that she's obviously had a perfectly... good prep for it, in the sense that she is an Olympic athlete, so she has that drive and determination, that base fitness and all that. It's not like as if me or you went, right, I'm going to ride in the Fox Hunters next year. Might take us a bit longer, I think. And the horses would wonder what the hell was going on. Do I think she'll get around? The one worry for me is her style. She rode Pasha de Polder the other day and was very positive on him. And I think that's a key thing, because the Fox Hunters as well, you don't want to be hunting out the back. You want to... She'd best just doing what she did the other day and just going, come on, let's get into a rhythm and just go for it. The worry is she rides quite high and she doesn't seem to be as in control as she could be. Or at least she looks a little... She's in control until she's not. It's kind of, I get the feeling it might be an all or nothing kind of thing. So if something does go wrong, there might not be much room for manoeuvre there. I think she'll do fine. I think if she does what she did the other day on Pasha de Polder, I think she'll be fine. She just needs to be positive and go for it. I think if it's like riding horses to get the trip or whatever. Sometimes you're best off just... If she can try and protect herself here, there and everywhere, but she's probably best off just being bold and going for it. But I think she'll do fine.
Yeah. She did remarkably well to even get there. And
it's staggering. Right,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And again, people have pointed out it's not as if all the other jockeys riding the race are seasoned professionals themselves.
No.
So it is a race for amateur riders, and she is an amateur rider.
Yeah, can't dispute that. Now we have the Cheltenham Handicap Weights. Who's your idea of a winner?
As if it's not hard enough to pick the winner of Cheltenham Handicaps 2 minutes before the actual race. This is the question. There's a few horses I like in the Close Brothers Novices Handicap Chase. My favourite brothers, after the Chuckle Brothers, obviously, as we've already mentioned. I was quite intrigued by Willow's Saviour for Dan Skelton, who's had a few runs over fences this year, won a couple, and then been beaten in Grade 1 company in the middle. But I think he looks quite well treated off a mark of 1.38. He's had just enough experience for there potentially to be a bit more improvement in him. So I'd be quite intrigued, Willow's Saviour. The Fred Winter I was intrigued in, but it's just there's so many French imports, it looks a bit of a a minefield, really. And the other horse was quite interesting was Politolog for Paul Nicholls, who is entered in the Coral Cup. Won a pretty poor race at Exeter last time out, but second to Barters Hill before that, and shaped really well on that occasion. And that was at a time when Paul Nicholls' horses were just a little bit scratchy. I thought he was very interesting. He's another one of those Nicholls horses with potential improvement in the bag, and they're the kind of horses he does well with. Au Petit Soin, for example, last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he's got a horse that he thinks is off a nice mark, he's not afraid to just sit and wait for the festival and then pounce. And I think Politolog looks an intriguing customer.
All right, a couple to consider there then from Ross. We also have another podcast on site which features Catherine Fry going through pretty much all of the festival handicaps as well, following the publication of the weight. So if that's your thing, get involved with that. Penultimate question, Ross. Who do you think Messrs Cooper and Walsh will end up riding in the Gold Cup?
Brian and Ruby, I assume.
Yes.
I personally would, if I was Brian, I would go for Don Polly. I think he is more of a Gold Cup prospect. Obviously, it's a very difficult decision because Don Consac is such a wonderful horse. I think the thing for these two, though, is Don Consac and Jack Adam probably have a little bit to prove. Well, to be fair, Ruby's got they both got a bit to prove for Vautour and Jack Adam. I think Ruby will probably end up riding Vautour. And I think Brian will end up riding Don Polly. Personally?
Yeah, fair enough.
So there you go. That's what I would do anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously I know just as much as Brian Cooper and Ruby Walsh. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah. In terms of most winners at Cheltenham, then, is it Britain or Ireland for you? We do have Prestbury Cup betting on site as well. If you go to the special markets page on the horse racing section, you'll see it there, the Prestbury Cup. UK 8-11, Ireland 13-8, and the tie is 13-2.
I would chance the Irish, despite a couple of high-profile defections, especially in the handicaps. They do seem to have... I do like horses who have been running in tough Irish handicaps then coming over here. They seem to be much more prepared for those races. So I would chance it, but honestly, I wouldn't exactly know. But I would at the price, I would chance the Irish.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would chance Ireland because not only have you got Willie Mullins bringing over a huge number of horses, you've got Gordon Elliott with a very good string as well, and several other Irish, like you say, handicappers that could pop up, and it wouldn't be any surprise. So.
No, I would say there's horses, you know, like the World Hurdle and the Gold Cup, and then there's apart from Willie Mullins, it is very much Willie Mullins and everyone else fighting out for scraps to an extent, and obviously Willie's had such a good few years. It's not necessarily going to happen again.
Mm.
But I think at the prices, it's worth chancing Ireland.
Okay, that's the Monday jury for another week then. Just a little bit of other news that's happened today. Today being Monday as we record this, Joseph O'Brien has said that Aspen, Colorado will not run at the Cheltenham Festival. He was prominent in the market for the champion bumper. So don't consider that one if you're having a bet in that race at the moment. Anything else on your mind, Ross, before we move on?
Not particularly, Mark. No. Move away.
Let's move away.
Let's leave home.
We've got Ross looking at four races for us for Tuesday, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Yeah, we're going to look at some of the racing at each of the three venues on Tuesday. We start at Exeter. In their 2:35, this one is a novices limited handicap chase. It's over 3 miles. It's a class 4 event, and we've got a field of 8 here. Ross, who would you side with in there?
Yeah, a field of 8. Not many can be ruled out, really. Sunny the One should have won a couple of weeks ago. Tom Scudamore lost his irons and just got beaten by an unexposed Paul Nicholls type. He's back up in trip. He's obviously of interest. As is Dancing Shadow, who is starting to edge back down the weights. Over fences and is into an easier grade here. But I'm going to chance Epic Warrior for David Pipe, a horse who won a maiden hurdle for Connections back in September, and is pretty much an in-and-out performer Epic Warrior. But his best performances have come when they've switched the headgear around. He won his maiden hurdle with a hood and cheek pieces on for the first time, and he ran an absolute blinder at Newbury on his first start over fences when they put the blinkers on for the first time. Today, they've switched to tongue tie and cheek pieces. So, and David Pipe's also in really good form. He's had a couple of decent winners recently, Shot of Vodka, Topwood. Horses bouncing back to form after lacklustre efforts. So I think Epic Warrior is the most interesting in the field there.
Epic Warrior then, the most interesting one for us in the 235. To Newcastle we go next for their 315. This one is a Class 4 handicap chase over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. A field of 7 here, Ross. We'll start with Streets of Promise, if we may. Was a winner last time at Toaster. The form of that race doesn't look too bad. The third has won subsequently. The second, Timon's Tara, was in good form going into the race. So is that the key piece of form here?
Yeah, most probably. She's been relatively inconsistent herself over the past 12 months. She was in good nick and beat some nice horses last spring in bad ground. Then she pulled up at Cheltenham and that seemed to sort of spark a downward spiral for her. And it's only been the last couple of starts where she's bounced back to form. As you said, she won well last time out, leading most of the way over at Toaster. But I'm going to take her on with Tickin' to Mickey. For Raymond Shields and Dara Burke. This horse is starting to come down to a nice mark again. Was a winner over fences at Hexham back in November in very heavy ground, but also has pretty decent hurdles form and is a pretty versatile sort himself. But he's back down to a mark of 120 after that at that win. He was put up £10 for that Hexham victory. And to be fair to him, he's not run that badly in better races. But he's been dropped £5, so he's down to a 0-120, and conditions look ideal for him. So Tickin' to Mickey could be a bit more of value than Streets of Promise.
Tickin' to Mickey then, the selection for Ross in the 315 at Newcastle. To Southwell next for their 330. We're on the Fibre Sand for a mile handicap. We've got a field of 10 here, Ross. Boots and Spurs and Captain Revelation both arrive here in winning form. There are also several others in the field bidding to go one better than a runner-up effort last time. So quite a competitive race.
Yeah, Captain Revelation probably the obvious place to start, given he comes in here without a penalty after winning a Course and Distance Apprentice handicap only a few days ago. He's got a good record here at this track. He's never finished out of the front two, so he's obviously one to start with. But he's up in grade. He's drawn in box two as well, so he might get stuck on the inside. The horse drawn in box one's coming off the back of a 410-day absence and has never been to the track. So you could almost see him falling out, then Captain Revelation getting stuck on that inside, which would worry me a little. Plus, I like the way Boots and Spurs has been going about his business. He's really improved recently. He's won his last two starts over course and distance. He's unbeaten here at the track. Comes from a yard in form. I think he'll get a nice toe into it from the likes of Best Tamiyuz. And I think he'll go close. So Boots and Spurs, I think, has the best form in the book.
Boots and Spurs then for us at Southwell. And the final race we'll look at is back at Exeter. This one is a Class 4 handicap chase. It's over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. A field of 7 for this one, Ross. Who do you side with in there?
Again, another open race. The Mumper is of interest, although he's not a consistent type. He does tend to throw in a stinker every now and then. Renard's been in very good form as well. The veteran hasn't won for 2.5 years now, but has gone pretty close on his last few starts. And Ballydeg Lady is about as consistent as they come. But I'm going to chance Bears Rails for Colin Tizard, whose horses continue in pretty good form. Maybe not quite as good as they were a week or two ago. Hopefully he'll continue ticking along till next week, at the very least. But 3 runs over fences, and they've all been good ones. He really has improved for a stamina test, Bears Rails. He was beaten by Henri Porry-Morgan, who bounced back to form last time out. And they were stretched out all over Chepstow, but they generally are in those kind of races. But I just like the way he's going about things. I don't think he's finished yet. And he's stepping back down in trip, which could be of interest as well. So I'll go with Colin Tizard's Bears Rails.
Bears Rails, the selection then for Ross there. As usual, Ross, let's finish off with a little bit of a summary if you'll spin us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yeah, Epic Warrior in the 235, Ticket to Making in the 315. We'll go for Boots and Spurs at Suttle and Bears Rails in the 410.
Superb, good work, Ross. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Good night, sweet prince.
Always an interesting ending with Ross. There you go. That's Ross's selections for Tuesday. Then you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Darren Owen, Andy Holding and Sam Turner in the studio. It's Exeter, Newcastle and Southwell. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.